kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Good. Praise God. Act or react? That's the question. That is what we're going to look at today. Now, as I move into this, the idea of act or react, and we've all heard this probably said, we've even said it to ourselves at times, but the idea of act or react is basically when one feels that something or someone is taking away one's choice or limiting the range of alternatives that we can face. Reactions can occur when someone is pressurized to accept a certain view or attitude that is contrary to what was intended. We react to a loss of our freedom and behaviors. And that, of course, we see around the world. We see it in the news. We see it when people riot or react against governments or laws that are passed. So we're constantly seeing every day this act or react scenario being carried out. You see, it affects our actions when we act or react. It's connected with our actions, our emotions. It's also connected with our attitudes. And it's interesting that when we look at this in the Bible, because we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, we see very clearly what sin had done when man fell into sin. What he was confronted with, the choices, the decisions that he had to make. And you see this act or react coming in. And I'm going to explain further with regard to this act or react, but I've simply given you some of the psychological and questions that are given with regard to act or react. It's when we're pressurized, it's when some of our freedoms are removed. It's how we view something, how it affects us, and so on. And all of this, these behaviors, God is changing and delivering within our lives. Because one of the things, before I move into this in Genesis 3, Jesus never reacted. He was a man of action. In whatever situation, whatever was presented to him, and of course, him going to the cross, we in no way see a reaction with that death sentence that was placed upon him. And it is something that we all have to learn, that we have to be taught by the Spirit, because we are quite reactionary. We react so quickly, so easily, and our reactions can get us into a lot of trouble. It can cause one to come away from walking in the Spirit into the flesh. So this is something quite important, and I think can be quite a deliverance for us. As I've said, we're calling this teaching today, Act or React? That's the question. Genesis chapter 3. And I'm going to start from verse 1. And we'll take this up to, well, we'll stop in a minute, but I just need to read some of this. Before I get into this, are we having trouble with sound? Some are saying it's breaking up. Can I have a show of hands if you can hear properly or not? Because I don't need to get too involved in this. I can't get into the word otherwise. You're all right. You can hear. Okay, fine. Thank you. Right. Let's take it up from Genesis chapter 3, where it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" So she's okay up to this point. She is simply reiterating what God has said. They can be blessed. They can partake of everything in the garden that God's created except this one thing. They're not to partake of the fruit of the tree. And here comes the subtlety of the enemy. "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" So he contradicts the word of God. He lies about what God has said. And he is trying to say that if you do take of this, you're going to be like God and you'll have your eyes open to good and evil. What is wrong with that? Why should God want to protect you from that? Why should you not have your eyes open? Why shouldn't you be like God? Why shouldn't you know good and evil? You see how subtle he's getting into her mind, her thinking. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise." You see, she's beginning to look, she's beginning to question, she's beginning to take it all in. And it doesn't seem so bad. It looks pretty good to the eye. It looks very pleasant. Why should God tell us not to partake of this? You see? And so, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So that is the first thing that their eyes are open to. They see that they are naked. And they try to cover themselves. There's man's feeble attempt to try and atone for something that he has done wrong. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool." So we get a clear indication that the pre-incarnate Christ is in relationship with them, sharing, talking with them. He's in the garden with them. Wonderful. But it goes on, "And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." So why did they hide themselves? How did they get that idea? The idea of hiding from the Lord wasn't even in their thinking, not even in their DNA. But now, look what they're doing. Why? Because their eyes have been open to good and evil. And they're now beginning to learn something that God never intended them to know. God never created us in which to hide from him. Think of what that did to our Heavenly Father. These are things that we'll never fully understand what he went through. The crown of his creation, man, for fellowship, is now hiding from him. Did that break God's heart? Well, that's the nearest words and analogies that we can use. But I can assure you that it probably was infinitely far greater and deeper than even that. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And so he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." How did he know that nakedness before God was wrong? He knew because he had lost his innocence. He was no longer innocent anymore. You see, as human beings, we're very attracted to innocence. You say to me, how do you know that? Children. Some of you have had your own children. And your children don't react when they're young babies to whether they're wearing clothes or they're naked. They don't think, they don't know, they don't have that understanding that they're naked. But what we love about young people and children is their innocence. There is something innocent. There is something that has not corrupted them, even though they are born in sin. They're conceived in sin. But the innocence is there. And that innocence, what does it do to parents? It makes you protect them. You want to keep that innocence. There is something there within them that you don't want to hurt, to change, even though you know they have to grow up and one day they have to fly from the nest. Yet there is that innocence that causes us to protect. Where do we get that from? Where do those impulses, those ideas, those emotions come from? They come from God, because we're made in the image of God. So we start to just get an inkling of what our Heavenly Father went through when that innocence left Adam and Eve, and they knew that they were naked. That is why we protect children. We preserve them. We preserve them from corruption, from evil things. We protect them from the television, which at many times is like a sewer line into our houses. We protect them from things in the home, the fire or electrical or plugs, or all that sort of thing. We're teaching them all the time, protecting them. But you know, one of the things that's so neglecting today, as I'm seeing it, that young people, children, are not protected from when parents have arguments, or they starting abusing or hitting one another. This is a terrible thing that's going on in families today, that children have to see that sort of thing, and it scars them. They should be protected from that happens, because it's becoming so prevalent now in homes. Children should know their boundaries. They should know correct times in which to go to bed. It's wrong to have children still up at 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, which is so common today. I could just go on with this sort of thing. But this is the falling away now that's happening. The tragedy is, and I hear a lot of people out in the world that say this, those parents or that couple, they shouldn't have children. They don't know how to look after them. And the tragedy is that they're often right. Parenting skills is so lacking today. And if they don't see it from their own parents, then it just carries on to the next generation. And the decline is there. I'm mentioning this because we get an inkling, an understanding of what's going on here as Adam and Eve have fallen from the grace of God, from the standard of God. And so he goes on, he says, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And here comes the idea now of our title, Act or React. Then the man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And so then the Lord addresses the serpent. Here we have a classic example of act or react. Adam had the chance to act, but his sin, his falling from the standard of God, caused him to react. What was the first thing that came out of his mouth? The woman you gave me, she caused me to eat. And there's the reaction. And the reaction was to cover up, to excuse. Instead of acting, which he could have done, and said, I have sinned. I have disobeyed what you said. I should have watched over the woman. I should have been head over her. But I showed weakness. And this is the trouble since the fall of Adam and Eve. That weakness is now with man. He has lost that headship. He has lost that respect. He has reacted instead of acted and being honest. And this sin, this weakness is with us today. Nothing changes. In fact, it has got worse. And this is why we have the breakups, we have the problems in marriage, we have two in three now, I'm told, are ending in divorce or separation. And here it is. It's the woman you gave me. She made me sin. Instead of him acting, he reacted. And there is the problem. And that is exactly what the enemy, the serpent, wanted. Cunning, crafty. Because he knows where man's sins lies. He doesn't want man owning up. He doesn't want man to be honest. That he has missed the mark, the standard. Because that's what's going on here. Adam failed God's standard. And we fail God's standard when we react. And reactionary is always unbelief. It is not believing. It's not trusting. in the Lord, in his word, and the one who resides and lives in you. And so we have the first sin, the first problem. And what does it target? What does it hit? The family life, which God created and made. And that is the problem we have. And that is why God has to judge in these last days, as we're falling away, the times of Sodom and Gomorrah, the times of Noah. And what does he say in Matthew? He says, oh, they'll carry on as they are, marrying, giving in marriage, and so on. None of it all changes, but it's getting worse and worse. Man lost his dominion. He lost his place. He lost his position with his wife. He was not protecting and looking after her. And that, of course, is why the apostle, when he addresses about marriage, he says, husbands, love your wives. He doesn't address the woman. He addresses again the man. The same as God addresses the man. He doesn't address the woman first. He goes to Adam. Adam was not protecting. He was not doing what God had created and made him to do. And we violate all of this today. A lot of men are angry, resentful against women who control, who are dominant, feminists. And I am not saying that any of that is right. And we hear it all said, Jezebel, witchcraft, and it is. But the question is, it doesn't go to the woman, it goes to the man. And that is how God addresses it. That's how he addressed it through Paul. And many, many times, the reason why women react in the way that they do when they should be acting is because they feel insecure. They do not feel loved and respected. And this is one of the major problems, because man has got to be restored back from the weakness that was created right there with Adam when he fell. Because he reacted, he made an excuse, he blamed the woman. And when you blame the woman will react. And she will react and do what she knows best to do. It is in the nature of a woman to protect children. She is a homemaker, or she should be. That is what God has put within her. We each of us have roles. And it is wrong when we demand that those roles change. And so, sadly, the reactions that come from a lot of women today is they want men to take on that role as well as them. When the man is the provider, the breadwinner, he is the protector over his family, his wife. And it all goes wrong when the roles begin to change. Now, of course, one helps. There are the practical sides of things. If your wife is really tired, she's had a busy day, looking after the children, whatever, love will know how to help in situations. But there's not that demand that of a role which is fundamentally the woman's and fundamentally the man's. God has given us gifts and abilities. And we have to operate in those gifts and abilities that he gives us. It's the same with the gifts in the church. Whether the gifts of the fivefold ministry or the gifts, the supernatural gifts, or the natural talents. Where there is physical jobs to be done, generally that is a man's role. He has been made physically stronger for that purpose. Where there is the role for the women, which requires a strength, but a strength in a different way. There's also strength that is needed mentally in how you approach or attack a thing. There is that mental strength that is needed. But what I am saying is there are roles that God has given us in this life. And of course, the enemy has fouled it all up. Where you have today now, you have men fighting with women and women fighting with men. You don't see that in the animal kingdom. They have more sense. So it just shows what has happened to God's creation, the crown of his creation, right there in Genesis. And Adam had every opportunity to act and admit and own up. But sin had already got in. Unbelief had already got in. We see it. He's hiding from God. They tried to make themselves fig leaves. It's a feeble attempt to try and atone for themselves. But it doesn't do anything. See, God has to do that. You know the story, where he has to get skins to cover them. So there you see the first sacrifice, the first death of a victim, the shedding of blood to cover. And so the rest of it, of course, is all history. And we have it all recorded there in the Bible. And what does the Bible reveal from Genesis to Revelation? It's all about restoring back God as head, restoring back an order, a standard that God meant to be right there in the fall of Adam. That is why God always addresses the man first and makes him responsible, particularly where family is concerned. Now, of course, we're all responsible in the spirit because we worship God in spirit and in truth. So, of course, sisters as well have to be responsible. They have to be responsible to work out their own salvation in fear and trembling and so on, which, of course, was never intended to be. We weren't created to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. That's not what it was about. It's what the fall, sin, has done. So, looking at this then, breaking this down, going back to verse 1 where it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Now, it is important to understand some of these Hebrew and Greek words that we read here in scriptures. Now, the idea here, and the word used in my Bible in the New King James, is cunning, which is a pretty good translation. Because what it actually means, it means someone who's deceitful, is deceit. And you also get the idea of this being deceitful, it also means to be selfish I'm thinking of myself. So we're automatically beginning to understand man's problem today. It also means where one is clever, crafty, skillful, manipulative. So this idea of being cunning is one who's utterly selfish, who's clever, cunning, deceitful, and deceit also means to lie. We get a clear understanding of what this serpent here, this beast, is about. Now, of course, they have no understanding of that. This, they're not aware of what this serpent is, the nature of this serpent. As I said, they were created innocent. They're not to know what this serpent is. They have no idea until, of course, their eyes are open. And then we move to verse 5, and it says, "For God knows that in the days you eat of your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." You see, they didn't have experience of good and evil. The idea of good and evil are just simply words, in a sense. They're told not to eat of the fruit of the tree. But they don't really know this. They're simply words. And many times it's like us. As we get saved, we start to read the scriptures. We're told that faith comes by hearing, reading the word. But many times they're words. We read them. But they have to be translated into deeds, into action. And many times when we read the word or we hear the word preach, we have a choice of whether we receive it, where we act upon it in faith, or it's going to cause us to react. And at times the word causes us to react. Do you know why we react? Because we don't understand it. We're not seeing it as God wants us to see it. So it causes us to react. And we react often because it means I have to change, or I have to give up something, or I've got to rethink in my mind differently to how I have been thinking. In other words, it means I need deliverance. And that is why God so works with us, to keep us humble, to keep our knees bowed in his presence, for this very purpose, whether we're going to act or react. But they didn't have the experience of good and evil. They're soon to have it, by the way, but at this point they don't. So the trap was that she listened. And he put this idea into her head. Verse 6, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." So her husband was with her. Have you noticed that there? "She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." So what was he doing? Why was he allowing this to go on? Didn't it raise alarm bells or anything? No, the problem is in man's nature. Give me a break, give me a rest. I'm going to bury my head in the sand. And that is what causes, particularly in marriages, women to react. And that is why we have the problems. That sadly is a weakness in man. We see it in society. We see it around us. Excuse me a minute. So that is why you get this reaction that takes place. You see, it says here, also she gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So we see there the nature of the woman. The woman, she gives in a practical way. She's giving food. She's being generous. She's sharing. Adam's not doing this because he should be fulfilling the role protecting her, but she's giving out food. So we see the difference between them both. We still see this principle still runs today in humanity. It doesn't change. There's nothing new under the sun. It's not rocket science to work a lot of this out. The Bible is very, very clear. It gives us the basics, the understanding when we read it. And so it goes on. The idea was put into her head. And she partakes of this fruit and then she hands it over to her husband as well. He doesn't say no thank you, you know, he just goes along with it as well. And then we look at verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So they're now reacting. There's no longer any action. There's a reaction that is taking place. They're hiding from God. Sad. And then, of course, we come then to verse 12. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Reactions always blame other people or other situations. And we've all done it. It's what sin has done. Because the nature of faith is to act, not react. And that is it. And that is what God is teaching us. That is what he's delivering us. That is why we have the word. That is why faith comes by hearing that word, for the very reason that we are men and women who act by faith. And if we want the greatest example in the Old Testament of one who acted his faith, that is Abraham. And he had come to such a place in his faith where he acted his faith that he was willing to offer up his only son, his heir. And the rest, of course, we know. So we see what causes reaction. What causes reaction? Verse 10. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. What had entered in at that point? Fear. The fear of God, the fear of the presence of God. He's already become oppressed. In other words, what it means here, it means that he now fears the power and strength of God. He fears because he's one who's going to have to judge. He's going to have to deal. Something has gone wrong. I've sinned. I've sinned against God. He was never created to experience or know that or understand it, but is now, through this spear, become aware of God's power and God's strength, and that God, in his holiness and righteousness, has to deal with this. It has missed the mark. It's not his standard anymore. So, to be in awe to the fear of God, and this side of him, God never wanted to know, because God has to punish this. God has to do something, and God has to get a sacrifice. He has to get a victim, and that victim has to die. Blood has to be shed. He has to be covered. Look what's taking place here. And what is he covering? Sin. Rebellion. And so, since then, man is seeking God as judge, as a righteous judge. That is how he has to seek God, because he's going to be judged for his sin. So he knows God now as a judge. Adam and Eve were not created to know God as a judge, to judge them, to deal with moral issues, to deal with rebellion, to deal with man's reactions and what he does and so on. He was not created for that. See, God always intended to protect and shield us from himself. That is how God created us originally. He shielded us from all of that. The garden was created for that very purpose, to have communion and fellowship with God. It was a shield. It was a protection. And that's why, sadly, Adam and Eve had to be cast out of that garden that shielded and protected them. And the rest, of course, is history. We have it all there. So God is now the idea and revelation of being a judge. The idea of good and evil. And that is why we have a conscience. And when we are born into this world, it doesn't take long. Even as a child knows it's wrong to steal. And they gain that very quickly. How often have you seen a child putting their hands to something and they're just about to take it if it's in the shop, and they look at you in those big baby blues, and what do you say to them? No, you mustn't take it. Where does that come from? How do they know that? It's there in them. They're conceived in sin. It's there. God never wanted us to experience any of that. Rebellion had already taken place in heaven with the fall of Lucifer. We know that. And a third of the angels fell. God didn't want man to know what had originally happened in the courts of heaven. Man wasn't created to know about that. And so God creates man, the crown of his image. He places him in the garden here, the Garden of Eden. It's a shield, it's a protection to enjoy and be blessed by God's presence. And sin hinders all of that. But you see, God is God. God could have given up man there and then, and he could have destroyed him. But he didn't. He covered him to protect him from his glory, his presence, which otherwise would have just burnt them up, destroyed them. And that's what God always does. God is always protecting and preserving us. That is why it is so important that we get together. We come under this anointing. We have the Word of God in our lives. That we are filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. That we're placed into His body. This is all part of God restoring, bringing us back in this time of restoration. God again is showing as a father that He protects and preserves and keeps us and is restoring us back. He's restoring us back under that divine order which was lost right here in the garden. And that divine order at times can cause us to act or react. This divine order that God is bringing and restoring us back to brings all sorts of things out of us at times that we don't like. Because we're rebellious. We easily deceived. We easily take in deception, lies that we have to be delivered from. And God is delivering us so that our faith is a faith that acts. Our faith that lines up and agrees with the Word of God and doesn't react all the time to it. That is what He's doing. And that's why I said at the beginning how that parents are to protect their children. And sadly, parenting has so declined now that it's a mess, a lot of it. But that is the falling away now of these last days. But we are being restored back. What a wonderful future we have. How our Father loves us and how He protects and preserves us. And how He's delivering us. And how He wants this faith that we received, some of us over 40 years ago, a faith that will act to the will of God, to the standard of God's word. A lot of our unbelief is because of our reaction. And reaction will always hinder you from hearing properly. From receiving the Word of God properly. Why, even psychology knows this. I gave you some psychology at the beginning. This is what psychologists says with regard to act and react. But we know that they cannot change and touch the heart of man, whereas God can and does. And that's why God tests us as believers. He tests us because He wants to see our faith active, acting according to the will and revelation of His word. That's what it's about. And we're all of us now under a testing, aren't we, with this COVID. We're being tested, brothers and sisters. Now, it's something I want to raise up here as I bring this to a conclusion, because I think this needs to be addressed. But there's been an awful lot about this vaccine that's come out and is coming out, in which to immunize the whole world. That's what they want to do. Now, the question I'm going to raise now, has that caused you to act or react? We need to be reminded that God has set in the atonement healing. In the atonement, it is wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. And God has made us and created us, even in this fallen world, with a wonderful immune system. Now, all of this we know. But the point is, whatever decision you take, because FGA is not telling you what to do. with regard to this vaccine that's coming. You've heard enough. There's been enough videos and clips that have gone with regard to this. Some of it is over the top as well. Some miss it a mile off. But we have the Holy Spirit who's come to lead and teach and guide us. My step of faith must always come from what God reveals and shows in His Word and of Himself and what He's provided. That should always be my motivation, my decisions. Everything is, what does God's Word say? Do I want to trust God's Word? Do I want to obey the Word of God or not? And they are the choices that we are faced. And each of us, we know whether we're in faith for this or not. Because I'm going to tell you something now. If you're not in faith, you are in fear, and you are reacting to all of this, then the best thing is you better take the vaccine. But if you're not, and you know in your heart, and you know how God is moving in your heart, and if you're humble enough, you're seeing your actions or reactions, that is a clear indication where you are with regard to your stand in all of this. You don't do what the pastor is doing or what somebody else is doing, or I better not take this vaccine because FGA doesn't agree with it. That's reaction. That is not faith acting. You either know or you don't. You either have faith or you don't. But there is always time to change, brothers and sisters. And that is why I labour in the Word of God. That is why I preach faith. Because today, while the Lord still tarries, because I can't tell you what tomorrow holds, but while the Lord still tarries, we can get it right. In other words, what we have read back in Genesis 3, where Adam could have got it right, we don't make that mistake now through the first Adam. We get it right through the second Adam, who got it right. So there's always a hope. There's always that chance. I can get it right. And that is the mercy and grace of God. It's what God says in His Word. And that is why, as I close, you see, the cross plays such a big part with regard to whether I act or react. And that is why we're to take up our cross also daily and follow the Lord. Because the cross is going to deal with all those wrong ideas and thinking that stems from self. I'll remind you again what I said at the beginning, what you would read and find with regard to act or react. And it says that the idea of act or react is basically when one feels that something or someone is taking away their choice or limiting the range of alternatives. Well, praise God, we have no alternatives if we become disciples of Christ and we take up our cross daily and we follow Him. There is no alternative. There is only one way, and that is to follow Him, His Word, and as the Holy Spirit leads, in order to make us men and women who act and walk by faith. You see, psychology also says this, that reactions can occur when someone is pressurized to accept a certain view or attitude that is contrary to what was intended. And there is our problem, and that is why we have to get delivered in the mind. Because we've all taken on wrong attitudes, things that are wrong. So when it is confronted with God's sword, the spirit of the sword, we can either act or react. And they are the choices. That is how we receive the word of God. But if we have truly received it and we are truly born again with that new nature, we realize there is no option. God never gets it wrong. Whatever he's challenging me with, whatever area I have to change, or even in my thinking, God never gets it wrong. And it isn't what the devil tries to suggest, that you are losing your freedom of choice. You are being controlled, you're being coerced, you're being led down the wrong path. That is why we discern the Spirit. We test the Spirit. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit, so that we can rest and know that even if it has my name and address on, it has it for a purpose, because God loves me, he's delivering me. For the very purpose that I will have a faith that will always act and not react. That is the question.
Disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus.